Beach easy.
You don't know what people are going through, you know, and it was just, you know, it's the guys, you know, they like, they want their kid to wake up one day, just smile on Christmas, at least have something. Yeah, like that was a moment just to see grown men go through that. So just to make their kids happy.
Welcome to Life's a Beach and Then You Die. From personal growth and self-discovery to challenges and victories, we discuss it all. Join us as we dive into the extraordinary stories of ordinary people all the way to the end.
Welcome to Life's a Beach and Then You Die. I'm Julie Ellis, and today I'll be talking with Jeremy Howard, a basketball coach whose career as a semi-professional player and high school standout demonstrates that good things come to people who do the work. Jeremy grew up in Myrtle Beach with a loving family who always made the holiday season special.
Every kid, we always wanted the same thing. So we had a list and we all went to our parents, and it was an apartment complex area. So all the parents knew what every kid wanted. So like if 1 year was rollerblades, every kid had rollerblades in the neighborhood. 1 year was a bicycle, we all had bicycles. So it was one of those where we was all looking forward to that one item, and we'll go outside and play all day. The clothes didn't matter, but I mean, waking up at 4 a.m, you hear every kid in the neighborhood yelling, and we have to go back to bed and get back up at 10 and actually go outside. I mean, those were the great experiences. So I miss those type of days.
Well, I can tell by the way your eyes are lit up when you're talking about Christmas that that was a very special season for you.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me more about your childhood. What are some of the things you did for fun?
When we used to have the Just Say No walks. And we had those, and they used to take place down on the boulevard near the pavilion. You have to walk a mile to the pier, and you walk back, and then you get your wristbands to go to the pavilion all day. So it was one of those events they did every year. So we was involved with that, and that was the fun part. So, and then there's a court down off of 17 South that everybody played at. And it's, we call it the Cinema 10 because it used to be a movie theater beside it. But now they turned into pickleball on the tennis parts of the court. But that outdoor court, summertime, I mean, it was so packed. You wouldn't know what was going on. But scouts were actually coming out there to see what kids were out there if they was on vacation because the competition was so high. I mean, that was the fun days. I mean, we used to play in the cold, and year-round it was basketball. It was we play at the rec centers, then go out there and play because the light's still until about 2 a.m. And we would play all day long.
So it sounds like basketball was a big part of your life growing up, and it certainly shaped who you became as an adult. Tell me some more about that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was a big Michael Jordan fan. So,
he's the greatest.
Oh, man. I mean, commercials. I watched commercials, and I remember my mom got me the DVD. It was Come Fly With Me. It was on VHS.
Mm-hmm.
And I had that. That was one of my biggest things, and I would watch that. Then I would go outside to the court beside our apartment and try to imitate all the moves. When the Wheaties came out, him on the box, I wanted Wheaties. It was nasty, but I wanted it. The Gatorade used to be in the glass bottles. I wanted just the lemon kind. But, sports was my biggest thing. But I always wanted to be a football player. I always wanted to be in the NFL. Jerry Rice is my favorite player. I'm a big 49ers fan. So, when that didn't pan out, it was just like, hey, basketball.
Well, that's good you switched to basketball because you were quite a standout here at Myrtle Beach High, weren't you?
Somewhat.
Well, tell me about you won a championship, and how did high school feel to you?
High school was fun. I mean, I played with some good guys. Ramon Sessions, who was in the NBA for a long time, he graduated after me, but we were really good friends, still good friends to this day. Akeem Hemingway, he was a senior at the time. Marcus Rush, Carlos Gore. We had a big senior crew that helped us. I was a junior when we won the state championship, so it was just having that leadership around us, and they taught me how to work mm-hmm. ethic from the summertime all the way through to the season. And I mean, I remember the first time we lost, we cried at the beach ball classic, mm-hmm. and we didn't lose since. Like, we went 30-1 that year.
Did you really?
Yeah, we finished 23rd in the nation. Yeah, so that was a special year.
Did you have a coach or a teacher anywhere along the way that you found truly inspirational to your life?
Yeah, I have three in my life. One's still alive to this day, but it was Greg Moody. He was my JV coach. He taught me how to play the game of basketball. Buddy Rogers was my high school coach, basketball coach. And then Rivers Lynch, and he coached tennis. But before that, it was just he always came and he gave me encouraging words. And I always looked at it like, if I become a coach one day, I want to be like those three. You know, and they always believed in giving back. And those were the ones come pick you up from your house and had a van full of kids. And they made sure you was in the best position to succeed. So I always carried that with me everywhere I went. So always, that's where the giving back part came from.
With basketball being such a big part of Jeremy's life, it was only natural that he would dream of someday playing professionally in the NBA.
I think that's every kid that plays a sport, they have the ultimate goal of getting to the highest level.
Sure.
And that was mine. It was like, yeah, I want to go to the NBA. So the work ethic has to come into play.
Mm-hmm.
And then at that age, it was more, I guess, when you feel like doubt or it's like, oh, I don't know. So you start doubting just because obstacles come in the way.
Mm-hmm.
But if I know what I know now, I would have still been, if I had the drive I have now and did it, yeah, I probably would have made it there just by the work ethic of go hard, keep going till you get it, you know, just how much you put into it. But then it was like, okay, maybe this might not be it, or you still try, but it's like, yeah, it was one of those, yeah, NBA was a good goal to try to get to.
Jeremy finished high school and went on to play basketball and run track and field in college. He studied sports management, but always kept the dream of playing professionally. So when the opportunity came for Jeremy to play in a semi-pro league, he knew it was the right step forward. Tell me what it was like playing semi-professional basketball.
Oh, it's different. It's totally different than, it's one of those minor leagues. Like I said, every guy is chasing the dream. So being competitive, it's like who can outwork who. Guys traveling from 4 hours away, you know, trying to make a dream happen. So that's what I was doing. I was traveling to Savannah and, you know, we'll go play, practice. It was like 2 days, weightlift training and running miles. So it was intense, you know, with that. But yeah, it's one of those. I mean, they're all across the U.S.
Yeah.
So and guys are out there dreaming and hopefully get a NBA look or going overseas and playing. So it's one of those where it's very huge and I love it. And I tell guys when I see them, they have one here, the Coast Elite Pirates, and I was a part of that, helped coach and have a great organization. It's guys that come from afar that's like still wanting to dream. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, see how far you can go with it. But it's always who can see you and has been at the right place at the right time.
Right.
You know, and that's really how it happens. Be at the right place at the right time. I was working at the YMCA at one point up in Greenville. So it balanced my schedule where I was off on weekends. So it was like, boom, I can go.
You
know,
yeah.
So, or I'm up early and I would train. And then it was like, okay, I'll go to work. Then once I'm done, it was like I train later on the night after work because I had access to a gym. So it was like one of those.
That worked out.
Yeah,
working
worked out
for a YMCA.
Yeah,
you've got the facility. And then
like, use it whenever you want to use it.
But you were about the dream and just the work and going for it.
That's it. Yeah.
So inspirational.
Yeah, it was just, I guess it came up in that era of if you want something bad enough, it's like you have to keep working for it. So that was the era that, well, I was like, you know what? I'm listening to podcasts. I'm like, okay, let's get it. Let's get it. Let's get it. And that was one though. I was just driven. I didn't have to have anybody in the gym with me. So it was just like, yeah, this is what I want to do.
When Jeremy was 31, a friend offered him the opportunity to coach a basketball camp in Poland for 2 weeks.
One of my guys I met here, good friend, like a brother, his dad was going to Poland. He worked with Athletes in Action. And he was like, you know any guys that wouldn't mind going over here to Poland to help with a camp? He was like, I got this guy for you. And I just met him. And but we became good friends over time. He was like, I got this guy. I just got to see if this is something he want to do. And he reached out to ask me. I was like, yeah, I'll do it. And he was like, all right, he'll go. So the way it happened was like you have to be sponsored. So I think it might have been, was it $2,500? To go, it was something with the flight and everything, and I was like, oh, okay, so I'm working and stuff, and it came down to the end, and I was like, I don't know if I'll be able to go, and it's a church in Ohio, and the head guy reached out to me. He was like, are you going to Poland? And this might have been 3 weeks before it's time to go. And he was like, are you gonna go? And I was like, I want to go. He's like, well, what's holding you back from going? And I was like, you know, I was getting kind of quiet on the phone. He was like, is it the finance? And I was like, yeah, it's kind of the finance part. Like, I want to go, but I got other stuff I have to do here. And he was like, this is what we go do. He said, I want to bless you to go. He said, because I heard so much great things about you. And he was like, if you can get to the airport, we will have the ticket for you. He said, that's all I need you to do. And that's how it happened.
Oh,
and
wow.
I was on my way to Łódź, Poland.
Jeremy arrived in Poland and spent time teaching the Polish kids about basketball. While doing this, Jeremy realized that he enjoyed coaching more than he thought he would.
So we was there to, there's a lot of people that's there on mission trips. And someone's going to build like houses or stuff like that. Or they're going to the orphanage, helping out there. Our part was basketball. So we were just bringing people in through the game of basketball. I mean, we start off maybe 5 kids one day, and then to the end of the day, end of the week, we might have had like over 60 kids, adults are coming out. So we did a whole 3-on-3 tournament, and they actually can play ball.
Yeah.
And I mean, to this day, like they contact me on Facebook. So it was like, are you coming back to Poland? Or they start following the stuff I'm doing and liking and happy birthday, and which is pretty cool. And that's when I started liking the training part. Like I wasn't into the training part yet or developing people. So when that happened, it was like, okay, this kind of fun, you know, to see the kids get after and do the stuff, you know, you teaching them. And so, but I always was like shying away from the coaching because I always still wanted to play.
Right.
So that was the biggest part of that line. It's like, no, but that's really what that was. I was shying away from it.
What is it about coaching that interested you?
I guess it was a part of like seeing their face. It's like, oh, this actually works. Like what you're teaching them, and they're going through it. So it was like, okay, maybe this might be something. Because I remember one time my sister, she had mentioned to me one time, she was like, maybe coaching might be what you need to be doing. She's like, I know you love to play ball, but maybe it's coaching that you should be doing. And I got upset with her because I was like, I'm not coaching. Like, I love to play ball. This is what I'm doing. You know, I was upset with her about it, but she saw something that I didn't see at the time, mm-hmm. which is, yeah, this is what you should be doing. And it was hard for me to catch hold and, like, take that in, like, maybe this is it, you know, but she knew what she was talking about. So
I guess she did before you even knew.
Yeah, before I ever knew. And I think that goes with a lot of people. We see stuff that we know is best for other people. Sometimes it's trial and error where they have to go figure it out. All the offers that I've been getting, as far as playing, it was like, okay. But once I stepped into the coaching realm, it's like everything opened up so fast. And it was like I was catching up light speed. It was like to everything that should have been for me.
Tell me, did you have like any dark moments about giving up the dream? Like, did you have any moments where you felt sorrow or just kind of disappointed? Did you go through any of that struggle?
Yeah. When it came to playing, it was, I guess the opportunities wasn't coming. You know, and you watching people around you and it's like, oh, they're doing this. Okay, they're doing that. And it'd be times where it's like me waking up early, like, is this worth it? Like, you have those moments, especially when you see the other ones going through and it's like they're prospering in it. But that's why I always try to tell people, too, don't get caught watching what everybody else doing. That'll really deter you. And, mm-hmm. you know, now in my life, I learned it. That's why I stay tunnel vision. You know, I call it dove vision. Like, I just see one thing and I just go straight forward. So, but that, yeah, those are dark, bad moments because wintertime, even outside, when it's cold outside and you're going through stuff like that, it plays a toll, too. And that's like the weather, like it's cold. So I'd rather sleep, you know, or go work, come home. It's like, man. It was like I was emailing coaches left and right. I probably sent out 50 a day, and that was my agenda. It was like, how many agents can I get today?
Yeah.
Sending videos left and right. And it was like, you know, it was the turn. It was just like, this might not be it.
Yeah.
You know, but I get up every day and I still go play. So that's when a lot of the minor leagues came in. It was like playing, doing this. Then I was like, I'm tired of all this driving back and forth. You know, so that played a part.
Yeah.
But, yeah, when the opportunity came here, helping out with the JV team, the head coach of the JV team at the time was Ashley Wright. And she asked me back in July, and I was like, I don't know, because I was still thinking about playing. I was like, well, I'll let you know. And it was November, and it was crunch time. And she was like, well, I need an assistant. She's like, what you thinking? And I was like, well, since I'm here right now, I'll help you. And then when I got out there and started helping her, we was coaching girls. And it was starting to be fun. I was like, okay, you know, maybe this might be it. I'll do this until something opened up for me as far as playing. And then after a while, I was like, I've been coaching ever since. So the next year, that's when Poland came in. So I did the Poland, and I was like, okay, all right, you know, get into the training part. And then that fall, I ended up going to coach in college that year. And that sped up fast. And I just like one day just fill out a college application online to see what can happen. And it happened. Yeah, it was last minute. The coach called me right before season time. And I took off to Kentucky.
Jeremy went on to coach in Kentucky and learned a lot from the people he met there. One coach in particular had a great impact on him as he taught him about the importance of details when it comes to coaching.
Man, the women's coach, he taught me a lot. He taught me about being professional, outwork him, how to outdress him. You know, he was like, you trying to be seen too. He was like, I have a head coach job, but I want you to get one. He always taught me stuff about having a pen on me at all times. And you never know, somebody need to write something. You hand them a pen, make sure it's a good pen. They're going to remember you for that pen. Like, oh, he gave me this one, especially they see you again. So I was like, this is little key stuff he taught me.
Yeah.
The details of being a coach.
Well, I've always said in life, excellence is in the details.
That's it. That's
it. And that coach knew that.
Yeah, he knew that. When he taught me that, I was like, it opened my eyes. And I was like, oh, okay. So I always was studying what he was doing. And he was one of those where he wasn't micromanaging. It was more freelance. Like, you have to learn. You have to figure out your style. Like, my style is my style. You can take some stuff, but make it yours. And that's what I learned. And I took off with that, so...
With all the skills he had been taught in Kentucky, Jeremy was ready to return to Myrtle Beach and apply what he'd learned. During COVID, he began a nonprofit organization called the Max Purpose Academy, designed to help kids play basketball, even during lockdown.
COVID hit, I think it was around that March, and I mean, it felt like the world shut down. Going through the whole, I think it was a couple months, and it was like, well, these kids need something to do. So I noticed a lot of parents were buying goals and, you know, trying to put their yards. So kids just out there shooting. It's like isolation. Nobody want to be around each other. And my friend, my good friend, he's in North Carolina. He has his own academy, Fats. And he reached out to me. He said, hey, I'm about to do a virtual. He said, I'm just getting to see what kids get on. And I want you to be on to help mentor them and talk to them. And I said, cool. So I got on there and it was fun. He was like, you need to start one in Myrtle Beach. He said, just see what kids get on and stuff like that.
It's all on Zoom, right?
Zoom.
Yeah.
I might have had three kids, and I invited him on, and he gave him positive words at the end, and it was one of those. And the kid's like, okay. After a while, I was posting like, hey, here's the link. If you want to get on, we're working on ball handling, some conditioning drills. After that, I started getting like 10 kids. And then it started turning like 15 kids. And then me and him collabed, and he brought his kids on. So we might have like 30 kids on the Zoom. And then a high school coach at Andrew Jackson, my good friend, he reached out and said, I have some guys, too, that need to get on. So it was one of those where we were Zooming. It was ball handling, working on doing push-ups, sit-ups, squats. I mean, we were getting after for an hour. But, yeah, so that's how it started. And then we ended up, once it started opening up for our gym, we got in the gym. And we started training. So we was training on Saturday morning from maybe 2 hours. First hour was skill development. Second hour was we play. So what we learned, we go play after the drills we did. And parents came and started watching. So parents were starting to be invested in it. And then it was like I was working at the time. So I was like, we need shirts. So I had a bunch of shirts for the kids. And it was wearing it around school and around the city. And it started to get a big buzz. But yeah, it started during COVID. These kids were committed to getting better. And I was kind of shocked. So it made me more focused on the whole skill development part of everything.
Again, a path open for you that really worked out because the program has only grown every year.
That's right. That first year was training. And my focus was all the kids I had, I wanted them to play school ball. So those kids I had end up making school teams. So it's like going to watch them play and I'll make videos for them and put them on social media. And it was during Christmas break that same year, a couple guys came to him and said, Coach, let's start an AAU team for Max Purpose. I was like, y'all know I don't like AAU. I was like, I'm not a fan of it. And it was like, just do it for us. Like, we can work on our skill development, and then we just go out there and play. So they had that idea themselves. And then I was like, you know what? I said, if you get the guys, I'll do everything else need to be done. And they found the guys and designed the uniforms and ordered the book bags and got, I mean, it was just like whatever they needed. And we went out there and played. So I had a bunch of eighth graders played in a 10th grade division because I knew they had to go to play in high school. So it was one of those where I saw the future, what they could be. And it was like, all right, they need to play up so they can learn, get ready for high school. So I was always, I'm not preparing you for the moment. I'm preparing for what's going to happen in life. So I always believed in that type of stuff. So even until now, coaching JV, I'm getting you ready for what college will look like. So being on varsity would be easy. you know, for you. But yeah, that's how it happened. And every year a team got added. So it was one of the players, his sister asked that spring, can you start a girls team? I was like, if you get the girls, I'll start one. The following year I had a girls team.
Through the Max Purpose Academy, Jeremy made a big impact on his players as well as the community. His love for the holidays and desire to help those around him further inspired him to take on a second project called Sleigh Ride.
It started with Coach Doc Moore. He's a supervisor at Mary C. Canty. And he reached out to us every year, and he was like, the guys, the men of the community, and we'll all donate funds and go get the toys. He'll go purchase the toys. And my biggest thing was I wanted kids of Max Purpose to understand what giving back is, you know, and take care of your community. And it's not just the one you live in. I always believe in the grand strand. You know, there's a lot of communities out there that need help, and there's kids that still want a Christmas. Every year I partner with them, and we call it a sleigh ride. That's what I call it, a sleigh ride. And we'll just travel from neighborhood to neighborhood, dropping off toys,
and
setting up tables.
The kids go with you?
Yeah, and they enjoy it. Yeah, and it was an eye-opener because it was like, the little kids looking up to them, and they're just high schoolers or middle schoolers. And it's like, once they get through life and they start seeing what it really means, they'll catch hold like I did later on in life. But just to start them early, like giving back, I hope it's a seed that's in them where it's like, you know what? Somebody showed me how to do it. I can go do it too. But yeah,
exactly.
We bounce around every Christmas, and it's fun. I enjoy it. Just seeing the smiles on these kids' faces. And, you know, some kids don't know if they go get Christmas. They not think about that. They expecting something, but then you'll know what the parents going through, you know,
right.
And they're like, how am I going to do it?
Right.
We come through and we set up table and there's toys everywhere. And then you see them like watching their kid get toys. And it's like, that's a relief. At least they have something.
And your kids in your academy are behind the table. They help set up
yeah.
the gifts and they get to watch the faces of all the little
oh, yeah.
kids who
oh, yeah.
may or may not have gotten anything.
Right.
For Christmas.
And it helps out because me and Coach Doc and some of his employees are set up stuff, but it's like, these extra hands that need to be working. So,
yeah.
The kids, I mean, they like it. It's just like, all right, you know, they enjoy it. And it's a lot of organizations doing stuff too, which I'm like, yeah, you can't never have enough of toys for kids. So,
yeah.
It's always about giving. I don't care when they do it or how they do it. Just, you know, as long as you're doing it.
Myrtle Beach is an amazing place around Christmas time, and the community always comes together to help those in need. In addition to funding the project out of their own pockets, Jeremy and his partners always receive generous donations from the community to help keep Sleigh Ride alive year after year.
Well, like I say, the men, we donate big funds. Like I say, I work, so it was just like we bring it all together in one pot, and then we have toy boxes set up in different areas, like different rec centers, so people come in, drop toys off, and that's what really helps us out. So we get what we can, and then...
Out of your own pocket.
Yeah, out of our own pockets.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we enjoy doing it. You know, it's a bunch of us guys that do it. Yeah, that's mainly how it comes. The word gets out, and people definitely donate. So we have enough to give to the kids at the rec centers to pick about 3 toys, and we can go shop around the communities.
Was there any instant of a kid who was getting a toy from you and your group that really moved you, like, beyond the normal things? Can you think of anything that stands out as far as the holiday season goes?
It was one. It was just 2 years ago, Christmas. We went to this neighborhood. It was Summer Breeze. We went to Summer Breeze, and we had a lot of toys left over. And it was a group of guys standing out there, might have about 6 of them. And one kid came and grabbed a toy. So happy. So happy. But the part that moved me was the guys. It was a bunch of guys. And we was like, hey, guys, we got some toys left over. You know, if you know any kid that needs them, you know, we don't want to just take them back. And the guys came over and said, we can get them? It was like, yeah, y'all can take them if you know you're going to give it to, you know, some kids that need them. So the guys came, and just to hear them, they was like, man, I didn't know what I was going to get my kid for Christmas. And I was like, what? It was a bunch of them, just like dads just out there, like trying to figure out how they was going to do it. And I mean, we was like, well, you need more toys? We had big black bags full of toys, like, do what you need to do with them. Like,
oh,
how you go
wow.
hide them and put them and give it to the kids the next day? Like, yeah. And we normally go out like 2 days before Christmas. So this was like December 23rd.
Oh, wow.
You know, and it was just like out there. You don't know what the conversation it was having, but it was just like, it was watching us and how we was handling the kids and giving toys. And they were just standing there, but when we invited them over, I mean, they were like, you sure? I was like, yeah. And it was like, man, we didn't know how we was going to do it. You know, give our kids Christmas. So that touched me. It was like, you don't know what people are going through. You know, and it
we
was
do
just,
not.
You know, it's the guys. You know, they like, they want their kid to wake up one day, just smile on Christmas, at least have something, you know. But, they, I mean, they was carrying the big black bags, and they was going between them, halving them up with each other. It was like, you know, yeah, like that was a moment just to see grown men go through that. So just to make their kids happy.
Jeremy's future is bright with all of the wonderful things he does to help those around him. Whether it's through coaching basketball or delivering toys at Christmas, he never fails to make sure that those around him are happy. And someday he hopes to take his skills to the big league.
I want to see how far I can go coaching. I definitely want to go to the NBA coaching just to see if I could do it. And that might be my way there, is through coaching. You know, yeah. I might not play, but it might be the coaching.
Yeah.
So I believe that part. And then Max Purpose Academy, like I say, have my own facility one day and, like I say, just working at it. You know, still training and all that stuff, and having the kids that I train come back and start training. So that'll be their safe haven where they can come back and like, hey, this is an opportunity for you to give to the next.
So are you happy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You seem like a very happy person.
Yeah, too. I'm happy. And you have your moments where you get,
oh sure,
you know, yeah, that's just life. But yeah, I mean, being in the realm I'm in, like, I enjoy it. Like, yeah, I really enjoy helping and seeing these students, and me being who I was when I had my mentors. Hey, this is my coach right here. Like, it's my favorite coach. And now you hear the kids say that, and I work at the school, so it's like, yeah, this is my coach, you know, and it's stuff like that. Like, oh, I'm doing a good job.
Yeah.
You know, so even outside of that is, yeah, that's my coach. Hey, hey, you know, and it's one of those where, oh, well, I like that. It is showing that you're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what it is, we could have a losing season, but they know, like, I gave my best as a coach, and I thought of them to get further than what they are, you know.
Yeah.
So, like I say, kids come back from college and coach, hey, you know, training them, and or what you got going on, coach, I want to come check you out. It's one of those where, you know, I always want to see them do the best, you know, because somebody did that for me. And I know what it took to get there. And I know what's going to happen, being discouraged. But now I'm so motivated, like, I know you can get there, and I want to, yeah, help you get there. One of my kids, their dad told me that one day at Planet Fitness. And he was like, and it opened my mind up, and it blew my mind of what he said. He was like, somebody asked me, say, Why Coach Ja, he out there, man, he's doing everything. He's doing all these sports, and you know, he's got his nonprofit, he's working with the kids, this and that. And he was like, he said, man, he's trying to get an Earth All he got. And I was like, wow. Like, that opened my eyes, and ever since that, this might have been back in June. And it opened my eyes, like, you know what, you're right. Like, I had to give it everything I have. So when it comes to coaching, I'm not just a basketball coach. I could be volleyball, tennis, if I have to learn pickleball, I'm gonna learn that. But as far as a coach, I want to be the best at coaching, you know, not just one sport. So it's like, why can't I be that?
What do you think about life? How has your work impacted how you view the world around you?
You got to cherish every moment. And that's why I tell people, and even with people you're around, like, you don't know what happened. And, you know, you just got to enjoy the moment and take the moments in. And that's what we do. You know, my family, we do that. And we went through that with my mom. She was stage 4 breast cancer. And like I said, every day means a lot to us with her. It's just like taking pictures, going here, eating here. It's one of those because she helped guide us. She's a backbone. So it's like, you know, that's why I go so hard in what I'm doing, you know, so she can see it. And it's like, you never know what happens. So it's the moments where, you know, I try to max out every day because she's trying to max out every day, you know, all the stuff she's trying to do. So it's one of those where that's where the inspiration comes from. Family is very important. I tell people, family is important. Sometimes it has to be your immediate family. It can just be people that, you know, you met along the way, you know, and I met people like that too. So, but yeah, my mom is very important, and my siblings. Yeah, that's why we push. That's why I'm always moving. Like, my passion was, you know, the game of basketball, and I let the game of basketball evolve me into something else, like a coach. And like I say, I'm living the life now of it. So it's one of those where just stick to what you love, and then it'll take you where you're supposed to get to.
Jeremy's life has been full of not only basketball, but also service to others. He's an example of a great coach, both in sports and in life. If you've been inspired by this story or any others, please take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review.
We don't just get away at the beach, we get together. Because no matter what floats your boat, we're floating right along with you. With over 2,000 restaurants, live music all day and night, and endless attractions, Myrtle Beach was made for having fun and beaching easy. Welcome to 60 miles where you belong, the beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Plan your trip at visitmyrtlebeach.com.